And in Matthew 24 and at verse 44, words of the Lord Jesus Christ shortly before he was crucified. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. In Matthew 24, in answer to the questions of the disciples about the glory of the temple and the Lord Jesus saying, there will not be one stone left upon another when the Lord visits Jerusalem for its destruction, the Lord went on to speak about his coming again. Matthew 24 is a very exciting chapter, full of much detail, full of much energy and power. And it speaks initially about the destruction of Jerusalem and most particularly of the whole Jewish nation politically and otherwise in the year 70 AD, which was only 40 years less from when Jesus was speaking. But as with all prophecy, it is the same in principle the next time something similar happens. Some prophecies arise out of a given situation and are true quite often subsequently. That's why we study them. But the way that the Lord was going to visit Jerusalem with its utter destruction is nothing compared with when the Lord comes again to bring an end to this world in which we live. So even if we're reading the parts which speak of the destruction of Jerusalem, we're to think that is a little picture of what the destruction of the world at the Lord's coming again will be. His coming for judgment will not be visible to Jerusalem. His coming to the end of the world for its sin will be highly visible. And the Lord gives some detail that I've also mentioned to you. He says that when he does come, it'll be as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And that the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give a light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. Now, concerning Jerusalem, that was metaphorical. The moon, the sun, and the moon are the authorities, the political authorities, the legal authorities. The stars falling from heaven is the particular thing about we would call stars entertainers now. Well, it wouldn't have been entertainers, but it would have been people quite well known. But these things will be literal on the day when the Lord does return. The sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give a light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Not a sign like the cross appearing, but the Son of Man appearing as that sign. That's the meaning there. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. That's what will happen to every unbeliever at the moment the Lord Jesus returns. Billions of them. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. This is the Lord Jesus talking about his own return. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Do you remember in the Old Testament when Moses was called up into into the mountain to receive the law, and the people were not allowed to enter the mountain, but it was introduced by lightnings and thunders and by the sound of the trumpet getting louder and louder and louder and louder. It's uncanny, isn't it? Well, he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So wherever believers are, anywhere in the world when he returns, his angels will gather them to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air, and so shall we be forever with the Lord. But Jesus goes on to say, of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven. It's reserved to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one knows it. And he goes on to give a terribly chilling picture of the carelessness of mankind. Now, by nature, I'm very careless. I read things carelessly, to take the point sometimes, because I've not been giving the attention that it should. Tell you, I've often told you about how I was brought to reform things by John 17, and I'd so often read John 17, verse 2, as thou hast given him, that's the Lord Jesus, power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. I'd always read it carelessly, that he would give eternal life, I assume, to everybody. And one day he opened my eyes, that I'd been reading carelessly. And it's as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life, not to all, but to as many as thou hast given him. Power over all flesh, so that they should come to him, who are the elect of God. So I have to take particularly careful note not to be careless in reading. Now, as far as the things of God is concerned, this world is very careless. And this is what we've got to go on to think about. Nobody knows the day and hour of the Lord's return. But it's going to be like the days of Noah. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, what about the days of Noah? Well, we couldn't read that bit in Genesis 6 for ourselves. But what Jesus specifies particularly, he says, they were carrying on normally without a care of God. One of the most dangerous things. Now, how many people in this village? How many people in this county? How many people in our country? How many people in the world are carrying on as if God does not exist? Who are carrying on carelessly? And what it means. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For, as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, till the day that Noah entered into the ark. So, what were they doing? They were carrying on with the ordinary things of life. They were eating and drinking, and all what that entails to get hold of the food and so on. They were marrying, and the bride was being given by her father to the groom. So you get the double expression, marrying and giving in marriage. All these exciting things. Nothing really wrong with any of them. They're all part of the things we must do. But without God, with no reference to God, as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Now, in a nutshell, that's what's happening today in our land, isn't it? People are getting on with all the things. People are being eating and drinking more than they've ever done, probably. Supermarkets and everything. And people are marrying, although not in the way that we would expect. And they're not thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not thinking about God. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. How many people with their religions hallow God? How many people without their religions hallow God? So these days are like the days of Noah. We're carrying on as if there's never going to be any change. Peter says they're willingly ignorant of this thing. But the world hasn't always carried on. There was a flood that destroyed the world. But they think there's never going to be any catastrophic intervention again. And the Lord says, well, this is what was going on in the days of Noah. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. They'd not made any provision. They'd not listened to Noah's preaching. They'd not seen the example of the ark being built and wondering what it was all about. They just carried on with their life meaninglessly. And they had scarcely any warning, except that the gates of the doors of the ark were shut against them. And they began to say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But they knew nothing. It was totally unexpected. When the flood came and took them all away, all of them, eight were saved. I don't know how many people are in the world today, but how many would that mean if the proportion was the same? They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So when the Lord Jesus returns, he will take away immediately all those whose life is characterized by unbelief. If that isn't an incentive to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, we turn for the wrong reason, we may, provided the right thing is in our heart when we do come to the matter. But they knew not. If the Lord Jesus were to come today, the vast majority of people in this land wouldn't know what was happening. And how it was happening, and why it was happening. But they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. I can't imagine what it was like when they were all engulfed, what it meant for the people across the whole wide world, the tragedies, the things that were going on. But it's not going to be any different when the Lord Jesus returns. And then the Lord Jesus also speaks of something else. That in the matter of employment, you will have colleagues. You may be a believer and the colleague may not, or vice versa. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. So be separated. A definite separation. The one that's taken is the believer who goes to be with the Lord, meets him in the air, and doesn't suffer the catastrophe that will fall upon the earth subsequently. Two shall be in the field. One shall be taken, the other left. Just like that. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken, and the other left. There'll be a separation, immediate separation. The Lord, who knows the heart of what people really believe, will make a distinction immediately that has no error in who shall be saved. And it catches them by surprise like it did the, they knew not in the days of Noah, they will not know then. And the Lord then goes on to say to people, give them a warning, watch, watch, pray, look at what's going on in the world, read your Bible, watch. For you do not know what hour your Lord may come. So even if we're believers, we could still be caught by surprise, though we won't meet with the end of the wicked. Watch, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now, we don't know. The first generation hoped to see that Lord's return. And every year down to our time, the Lord has not yet returned. And he may not come in our children's time. But we all have to be ready. For we do not know. And I love the illustration in verse 43 of Matthew 24. Know this, that if the good man of the house, the owner of the house, had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. Now, it's difficult, isn't it? What provision do we take against robbery in our houses, indeed in the church? Now, if you knew someone was coming, you'd take precautions. And if you knew exactly when they were coming, you'd be even more ready for something. But it becomes a whole new ball game when you don't know when, just that it might, or in this case, that it will. The good man of the house, if he'd known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. But the implication is that as we don't know when the Lord is returning, we will find it very easy not to watch. And then come the words, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now the things about the Lord's return, as we saw, were exceedingly vivid. And I finish with these words. We are to be ready for the Lord's return. We're looking forward to him coming. And the things that are coming to pass on the earth will not at that time interest us. We're looking for the return of the Lord Jesus. It's him we love. And there'll be tremendous movement and noise. Every believer who's come with him in their souls have come. Their bodies will be raised from whatever condition they were in and go to meet the Lord in the air. What movement! We who still have our bodies, if we're alive when the Lord returns, will be transformed in that moment and also go to meet with the Lord in the air. Tremendous movement, tremendous vigor, tremendous power. But some of the descriptions of the return of the Lord, I'm turning to 2 Peter chapter 3. The heavens and the earth, this is verse 7, which are now, have not always been as they were. Before the flood it was different. The word of the Lord is reserving these times for judgment. Now, the day of the Lord, verse 10, will come as a thief in the night. Now, that was what Jesus was talking about. But a thief in the night is quiet until the arrival, till the damage is being done. But it's the suddenness that is being spoken of, the unexpectedness. The Lord Jesus will come. His day will come and catch people unawares. This is the thing I'm trying to stress about. The need to believe the gospel and to be thoroughly committed to it. The risk of being caught unawares is terrible for millions of people. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away, here we have it again, with a great noise. Noise is frightening. Noise up to a limit is fine, but you've got this warning trumpet summoning the elect together, announcing the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got the thunder which of the Lord's coming, which must precede the lightning that proceeds from one place to another. And you've got the heavens passing away with a great noise. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. And the next bit makes you realize why one should be grinding and another grinding, and they'll be separated. And the believer should be taken to be with the Lord in the air, and the other one left behind. And what are they being left behind for? The elements shall melt with a fervent heat. You'll be left behind for fire. Terrible. Oh, in Noah's day, they were left behind for flood. Well, it kills you, but perhaps there are worse ways to die. But fire is how the world is going to end. How all will be destroyed. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. The soil, that will be burned up. All the things that have been built, you remember this follow Peter is thinking about what the Lord Jesus said about that temple, that wonderful temple, it will be destroyed. Our libraries, our houses of parliament, our homes, council offices, doesn't matter what you think of. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. We don't want to be there then, do we? We don't want to be mixed up in all that. Seeing then, says Peter, drawing his conclusion, that all these things shall be dissolved, nothing will survive. Dissolution suggests breaking up into its individual parts. All these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons should we be, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat? The Lord's wrath upon this earth will be shown how terrible it is in the day of the Lord's return. The punishment of the Lord's hatred for sin was visited on Christ in all those who believe. But when it is visited upon unbelievers, the whole earth will be destroyed. How much time? Time isn't mentioned. Whether it takes 3 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, I have no idea. But all these sequences follow each other. The Lord returns. The Lord separates. The Lord gathers elect, his elect to him in the air. The earth is destroyed and everything in it with fervent heat. Makes you wonder what the modern sort of doctrine of polluting the earth with smoke and so on is going to mean in that day. That the Lord will protect his own. They'll be in the ark of faith in him and be taken away from all this at the time of his return. But to be carrying on, just carrying on, heedless of all these things, it will come upon us unawares, as the thief in the night, as the flood in the days of Noah. And nothing we'll be able to do about it then. It will be too late. These are gospel days. These are the days to believe. These are the days to give your heart to the Lord, to believe the preaching of the gospel. These are the times. I trust that none of us will be caught out by the rapidity of these events.